This is the Dr. Peter Breggin Hour, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. on www.prn.fm. This radio presentation replays my weekly TV show, Refounding America with Peter R. Breggin, MD, which can be watched on Brighteon.tv, and it's available on Roku. I interview guests who are heroes and pioneers in confronting the global predators who are behind COVID-19 lockdowns and vaccines, corrupt public health and medicine, global warming, the Great Reset, and other justifications for destroying the Western democracies. They are stealing our countries, our freedoms, our dignity and hope, and our jobs and our savings. For documentation of this worldwide tragedy, read our new book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey, by Peter and Ginger Breggin. Together, my guests and I explore what is happening and what we each can do to refound America and inspire the world. Thank you for your courage in facing these challenges and standing up for liberty. Here are four principles for living like an American. Protect freedom. Take responsibility at all times. Express gratitude for every gift and opportunity. Become a source of love. Once again, these are the times that try our souls. We must find the strength and the courage to rise up to refound America in the spirit of liberty. Hello, my wonderful audience. Very quickly, I want all of us to give out a shout, a big, loud shout to the Canadian truckers. Hooray for the Canadian truckers. They're inspiring us all over the world. Truckers in the U.S. are warming up their engines. Truckers in Germany, you know, my God, I mean, just all over Europe. So, I mean, things are exciting. I'm hoping they're getting going in Australia. They are setting an enormous precedent. They have completely clogged up Ottawa with hundreds of trucks. A judge is seemingly defending their right to have gasoline. It's looking really good. Secondly, I have a guest that I love. He's an amazing, amazing guest. And just before I introduce him to you, I'm going to tell you the latest truth on how they're going to get us next. I got it. Hello again. My guest tonight is Patrick Coffin, but I'll tell you a little bit more about this wonderful man. First, I want to tell you that this week, Ginger and I have found what basically is going to become the ultimate healthcare totalitarian threat. I've been waiting, wondering what it is going to be. On January 24th of this year, 2022, Tedros, the head of World Health Organization, announced that the World Health Organization was moving ahead with a whole new plan. And this horrific plan already has the backing of the EC, the European Community leader. It already has the backing of India and multiple smaller, lesser, nastier nations. The agreement is going to be to give Tedros and the World Health Organization control over individual nations' health programs, because as far as he can tell, they have proven to be too disorganized during COVID-19. So he wants to be the Fauci of the world. Won't that be a wonderful thing? And he's a dear friend of Fauci, but even much more important to him, I believe, are Bill Gates, who took over the funding of WHO when replacing America, when Trump cut off them for good reasons. But Trump is back. Bill Gates funds WHO through three separate organizations, and the Communist Chinese fund WHO. But they are really the people who got Tedros, who's a Marxist criminal, really. He's not even a physician. He's the first person to run WHO who wasn't a physician. They're deeply engaged with the UN and the communists. So it's not looking good. I'm going to read you just one of his major points, his fifth point of what he is planning, and see how this sounds for the rest of the world. The fifth priority is to urgently strengthen WHO as the leading and directing authority on global health. That's the leading and directing authority on global health at the center of the global health architecture. Now, this is not just about deadly events, about epidemics. This is all of global health. And he'll do this through treaties and accords, which the UN and international law considers binding. So just watch the little dominoes give out. And the big goal, of course, is to have Fauci or some other big deal in the U.S. sign over U.S. health to the World Health Organization. They don't wait for approval from Congresses and Senates, even though our Senate is required to approve treaties. The UN and WHO make very clear they get one of their top guys in a country to sign an accord, to sign a treaty. It's binding. That's what we're in for. Now, Patrick Coffin. I'm going to be interested in his remarks on this, whether I imagine he's heard of this before. It's really slipped under all the radar. All right, I'll go through some of this, because Patrick is amazing. He is the organizer of Truth Over Fear Summit. I was on one of those summits, on the one that got taken down, and Patrick, within a week, had up again on a conservative forum. An amazing thing. You can find all this stuff on restoretheculture.com. You can see behind them the Patrick Coffin Show. That's a podcast. It's going to 110 countries. I will read to you the first five or six illustrious people, his list of illustrious people. I think he made this up for my show. I think he made this up for me to read. You'll see why. So I'm going to ask him to fess up. And being a good Catholic, he's got to fess up. All right, here are the world's top cultural influencers. And I have been selected as a top influencer, the Pillow Man's forum. It's, Mike Lindell's forum. I'm a big influencer on speaking out. So Patrick has interviewed Dr. Jordan B. Peterson, Tucker Carlson, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., somebody I work with. Oh my gosh. And then it's Peter Bregan. I'm sure he put that in for this show. After that, Jose Feliciano, Harry Connick Jr., Kevin Costner, Newt Gingrich. So I'm going to ask him to fess up. He has an upcoming documentary, The Greatest Reset. I think that's probably going to be fabulous. But you know, there is a word for him that I've not used very often, and not sure at all on the air. And since he's such a good Catholic, he'll appreciate a good Yiddish word, mensch. Mensch is a really good man. That's the shortest definition of it, a really good man. A little longer definition of is a man of honor, integrity, empathy, compassion, generosity. So that's who you're looking at now. He may look like an ordinary guy in a blue suit with no tie and, gee, just like me, But he's actually just an amazing human being. Welcome to the show, Patrick. I'm so glad to see you.
Peter, you as well. What an honor to connect with you once again. I'm glad that our handlers have coordinated our wardrobes. just everything going on cue. Peter, I have a staff of writers, editors. I'm not exactly who compiled that. Who's who?
Okay, so you say it's. Maybe they did it just for me, though. I want to find out.
Well, it's good that because I'm appearing on your platform, your name is going to have good name recognition with your people. So that's all good. How do I jump in quickly? Just listening to the people that I've been privileged to connect and give my platform to and engage on the culture war, I have slowly morphed away from a more explicitly Catholic evangelization / apologetics model to fighting the real world enemies that everyone agrees, even people with no religious background whatsoever can agree that the plan that you just laid out, Dr. Tedros, the non-MD who runs World Health Organization and all his cronies, this is evil. This is not about Republican, Democrat. This is not about individual parties. Right. This is upstream from all of that. This is right and wrong. Tyranny versus freedom. And I'm honored that you and I have so much in common, Peter. Let me just talk about the Greatest Reset, because we're going after, in that presentation that I'm blessed to be a producer on, you're one of the presenter experts in that documentary. We're just about finished the final edit. And it's about the beast system that's being built around us that is pre-planned and coordinated and gathered together by the same cabal that has been lying to humanity since biblical times. And you don't have to take our word for it. You don't have to say, oh, this is conspiracy theories. At this point, a conspiracy theory is often not much more than a spoiler alert. And so we stick with the evidence, and we have a lot of things on camera. Our crew went to Davos twice. And we talk with people from all kinds of backgrounds, political, apolitical, religious, not religious. And the treaty agreement that is going to be imposed by WHO, that is new to me, Peter. I'm not delighted to hear about it, but I'm not surprised at all. This is all part of Agenda 21, UN Agenda 21.
Yes.
Sometimes it's called Agenda 2030. And the late Rosa Corey, I don't know if you remember Rosa, she was an agnostic Jewish lady. She wrote the book. It's called Behind the Green Mask. She just died last May. May she rest in peace. And Behind the Green Mask is the game plan of UN Agenda 21. Her blog is Democrats Against UN Agenda 21. So there's another sign that this is not about conservative
this
liberal.
This is really good. How do you spell Corey?
K-O-I-R-E, Rosa Corey. It's so many things. It's not just about the vaccine. The vaccine is a pretext for other evils, like a land grab. Have you noticed that they're trying to corral humanity into cities? They're neglecting rural areas. They're making these smart city models. Mm-hmm. It's all part of an international cabal that want to control your individual life. How else do you explain? This is something that if your listeners and viewers, Peter, are still a little bit on the fence about whether or not this was planned. If you go back to mid or late March 2020 and do a search of local television anchors, in every country that has a television system, those anchors, fed by producers, are saying the exact same words within days in every country.
Mm-hmm.
That's impossible unless there was pre-planning on an international level.
Yeah.
So the fact that we the people, or we could say we the truckers in every country, are rising up and saying, not on my watch, I'm not complying, I think that's thrown a bit of a hammer in the works of these people. They might not have anticipated this kind of pushback from ordinary folks like our amazing truckers up in Canada. And so they have to tighten the leash a little bit. They have to threaten, they have to make their plans half hidden. Remember, Klaus Schwab puts it in his book. His book is titled COVID-19 : The Great Reset. They're not hiding it. They're bragging about it.
They're not hiding at all how they're using COVID-19. And Schwab, I think he may have taken it down, but it's so important you mentioned the cities, that they want to get us all in cities. And Schwab, Well, one of his folks on his website wrote a piece that I think was called The Silence of the Cities. And the theme was, yes, things are shut down, but it is so beautifully seismic. We quiet in the cities. And they said, even the earthquake registrations are lower because there's so much noise, less noise stimulating, which is probably ridiculous.
Yeah.
But he wants the silence of the cities. And he got a lot of blowback, obviously, on that. And by the way, I was so excited about communicating with everybody tonight that I forgot to mention our book. Didn't give us anything at all about the book. But the book, of course, COVID-19, The Global Predators by Peter Bregan and Ginger. It gives you the deepest background on what has been leading up, so that when I refer to what happens with the World Health Organization, you'll have total knowledge about their connections and their history and so on. And oh, nice, they're putting up a picture there of it. And you can get it from our website if you like to buy direct, which we're encouraging just worldwide people buy direct. You can get it on wearethepray.com at a discount. But around the world, it's only in America. We could only set it up for the U.S. that you can buy from us directly. Wearethepray.com. And then you can get it worldwide, anywhere. Amazon and all the other bookstores around the world. We're over 65,000 copies now, and we're just beginning our biggest, real serious publicity promotion.
Well, so, the way I describe it is, it's not a book about COVID-19. It's the book about COVID-19. You've got the backstory, the deep history of all these players. And I think it's a terrific compliment to Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s book, The Real Anthony Fauci. He goes more laser-like into Fauci himself. But you also talk about Tony Fauci and all of his interconnected tentacles, Peter. And I love the way you expose that this is the latest iteration of a tradition of tyranny and lying and murder. These are not overstatements that I'm making now. You lay it all out in the book. And who voted for these people, by the way? I didn't vote for Klaus Schwab. Who's Dr. Tedros? Why is he making any kind of decision about me, That's my health, my future?
Yeah, they want to destroy the democratic processes. So, and their greatest fear was Donald Trump. And I do believe, folks, and just bear with me and maybe look in the book how I make the argument. I think the odds are that the release by the Wuhan Institute, which was definitely from somewhere, the biological warfare people of the Chinese communists, whether it was from Wuhan, the one we know, or next door neighbor, there's three or four labs around there, whether it was accidental or not, the purpose they turned it into, and I think it was purposeful release, but the purpose they turned it into was to destroy Donald Trump's presidency, because he represents so much of what people, you know, like the two of us believe in, you know, and most of you who are listening probably believe in, you know, we believe in freedom, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence. Many of us believe in God. You don't have to at all. We believe in love. We believe in liberty. Reason, liberty, and love, I like to talk about. So that's what they're out to destroy, and they're going to try to do it through health by getting us to just submit ourselves to the World Health Organization, and that will make the UN triumphant. But the triumph of the UN is really the triumph of the communist Chinese. They're the army of the UN. You want to know the UN has any soldiers other than, you know, the peacekeepers they send around? Yeah, they do. They have the CCP. Chinese Communist Party's Liberation Army. So that's what we have to look out for.
I don't really think it's an accident that so-called Dr. Tedros was an apparatchik in the communist government in Ethiopia. They've been a sock puppet of the CCP for many years. Once a communist, always a communist, unless you publicly say, I renounce it. You have to presume that it's the exact same worldview.
Yeah, exactly. Tell us more about yourself. That covers my obligatory just reminding people about the book. And thank you for buying this book, folks. And we just appreciate the enthusiasm. Oh, and you brought up Bobby Kennedy. Bobby Kennedy is so generous that as his book came out, he gave us a formal endorsement saying that our book was the one that told the whole story of the criminal conspiracy. What his book does beyond what I do is is look at the criminal conspiracy behind Fauci in more detail. I look at the larger, bigger criminal conspiracy, and he actually, with his book coming out, he was so generous as to give us an endorsement for that. But let's go on, and you have the last 5 minutes and nearly all of the 22, if I can, when we come back in five. But you got about 5 minutes to talk about some more of your stuff. You've been doing great stuff in the world. Tell
us about it. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Peter. I have a weekly podcast. The Patrick Hoffman Show is, the more I get banned, the bigger my audience grows. I was given a permanent ban from our good open-minded friends at YouTube because of Truth Over Fear, which if people want to connect with the 40 speakers, including your good self, Peter, it's restoretheculture.com. Bobby Kennedy Jr. is another presenter. The German attorney, Rainer Fuhlmich. Dr. Peter McCullough, Zev Zelenko. Yeah, all the superstar freedom fighters. And we gathered experts from three groups: medicine, the law, and media. Because the people who are standing up against this tyranny that are making a difference are from one of those spheres: the medical, the legal, and the journalistic. And it's so great to see so many people from seven or eight different countries all rowing in the exact same direction. They see the problem. They have a sense of true north. Even if they disagree on some other prudential matters, they see this is the number one enemy of humanity, and we have to get that mass, critical mass of, even if it's a minority, it doesn't take half the population. You know, I'm sure you know, Peter, as a historian, only about 3% of the colonists were willing to fight against the British military. Yeah. So the rudder is one of the smallest pieces of equipment on a cruise ship, and yet it governs the direction of the entire ship. So, you know, I always encourage people, stop looking over your shoulder at who's joining you. Just be that minority. And courage and boldness is a lot more contagious than COVID. People everywhere are looking to who is going to stand up, who's going to ring that bell, as you did with your book, as you do with your show. I slowly began to change the focus of my podcast away from explicit faith things to how people can get nuts and bolts, real world strategies to protect their families, to understand the real story that's behind the media lies. And unless you're connected to shows like Peter Bregan's, unless you know about Brighteon or BitChute, all the alternative media and researchers that have made their home there, you're just going to be fed the same diet of deception from all the lame scream legacy media.
I like that. Now, give us a brief on what you're going to talk about next, which is, you know, you're having a lot of experience out in the field right now, I gather. You've been going some places.
Yeah, I've been doing some on the ground protests. I was just at I'm sad.
By the way, folks, I live in a kennel. Forgive me. Go ahead. You can hear the dogs.
Dog is God spelled backwards. It's all good. Dog lover myself. There's a lot of on the ground protests going on in Catholic circles. Unfortunately, our bishops are on the wrong side of this entire matter. They are getting money from Big Pharma, and they're instrumentalizing church property and going after low information Catholics, especially Hispanics. I've seen it time and time again. And Catholics have to stand up and wake up and see their own leaders are not seeing things correctly. So if you're a baptized Catholic, you have to open your eyes, because once your eyes are opened, you have an obligation to tell people what's really going on. And what's going on is a grab to reduce the population of the world. Bill Gates says it in his 2010 TED Talk. Again, they don't hide it. Sometimes it's Freudian slip. Sometimes they brag about it. And unless we say the magic word, no, I'm not going to comply. They'll continue to steamroll. They'll continue to squeeze this lemon until enough people say, enough is enough. I'm done. No more.
Gates actually has a section on his website about population control. That's how upfront he is. He doesn't say, I'm going to kill people, but he does joke about it, at least one place. And so this is real stuff, folks. It's very, very real. Anything else you want to conclude with? If not, I can just say we're going to be having a very, very in-depth talk about more of this. And the bravest men in the world are the men and women who take on their own community. Patrick has taken on the community of Catholicism and the church. And I really think the bravest things I've done have not been where I thought I might be killed for it. The bravest things were taking on psychiatry and medicine decades ago and facing up to that I wouldn't be the youngest president of the American Psychiatric Association, where I thought my career trajectory was taking me. I would be the person with the biggest target on his back, and maybe also the youngest one to have a target on his back. So what Patrick is doing, when you have a deep belief and commitment and faith and many, many friends and fellowship with a group, and then you decide to speak truth to it, my experience is that's the scariest thing in the world. Maybe you can talk some about that. Welcome back, Patrick Coffin. Welcome back, our wonderful, wonderful audience. I want to talk with Patrick really in depth about the issue of standing up to your own communities. You know, the bravest thing a policeman does is not going under fire. It would be standing up to his chief or to some of his fellows who were doing graft. That's the hardest thing to get a policeman or a fireman to do. They can be so brave when you have support. Soldiers in the field can be so brave when they have support. But the real heroes, I think, right now, for example, are the people in the armed services who are standing up in the armed services and saying, hey, we have proof in the armed services. We're keeping records. The vaccines are killing soldiers. They're risking the health and well-being of young soldiers. They really are deadly. We got the data. So Patrick is very much in that situation, and it's something I faced when I was very much younger. Once I got through facing being a psychiatrist who was going to be critical of it to its roots, and then eventually realizing that medicine in general was becoming more corrupt, being a medical doc, that was one of the hardest things I did. I've had people try to kill me. I've had people threaten to kill me many times. The scariest is standing up to the people you want to be a part of, to your community. Those of you out there who are willing to stand up to your own community and speak truth to them and enlist them on your side, I understand how frightening it is. I understand. But maybe you can get a trucker event. Maybe the police force can walk out. Maybe the firemen can stand down, you know, and say, no, we're not going along with this totalitarianism. Maybe your church community can do that. Maybe your Rotary can do it. Maybe whatever group that you're in, maybe your family can do it. We need folks willing to say, like the framers of our Constitution, the people who wrote the Declaration of Independence, we really do pledge our lives to this. And really, the hardest part of pledging your life, I'm sure for them, wasn't that King George was going to hang him if they caught him. It was losing their own folks, their own communities, their own minister, their own physician. And that's still what we're struggling with now. Stand up for truth, though, and then who do you get to know? You get to know Patrick Coffin or somebody like him who's wants to run for the school board and wants to talk to you. Or just another homemaker who really believes that your kids shouldn't get vaccines and wants to stand up with you. And they're going to be wonderful and beautiful people. Ginger and I have met more beautiful people, wonderful people, made more friends in the last 2 years than in our entire 40 years together fighting basically, you know, psychiatric abuse issues and some medical abuse issues. So fight for freedom. And Patrick, I'm going to sit back. I want you to really get into your own experience as much as you can and talk about what's on your mind right now, and anything goes.
Well, Peter, I think you're laying your hand on something very, very important about how difficult it is to stand up to your own community, your own tribe, your own people, in some cases, your own literal family. Everyone watching us now has some strained relationship. Either it's a marital or father, son, or mother, daughter. Yes. Maybe it's extended family or friends, and they just don't see things as you do. and can be a lonely place because you're so used to getting automatic support of friends and family. When that doesn't happen, that's when the rubber hits the road. That's when you have to really dig in and find the people who are seeing things as you are, who recognize true north and who understand what it's like to be pushed around is the wrong word, but rejected because of your clear-sightedness on these issues. I'm a raised, rebelled, returned Catholic. My father got me in Mass no matter what else was going on. Me and my sister were in Mass every Sunday. My mother was a convert. My dad passed away about 3 or 4 years ago. May he rest in peace. And so I never dreamed that in 2022 we would have a globalist in Rome who calls himself Pope Francis, who has built a set of alliances that are made up of the enemies of every previous pope. Look at the men and women that John Paul II stood in front of and opposed and said enough, whether it's communism or zero population growth or the forces of tyranny. He gave his whole life. He took bullets for it. In 1981 in May when he was shot in St. Peter's Square. So that was the voice they wanted to silence. Pope Francis cheerleads these people. It's very confusing for Catholics. And there's a sense of taboo and guilt against speaking up against this. But perhaps it's God's providence that Francis is so corrupt and the evil is so large that you really have to be willingly putting your head in the sand to not see the problem. And when I do that, whether it's a corrupt bishop or a cardinal who's refusing to see the corruption as it is, or let alone fight against it, you become the target of messenger shooters. People don't want you talking about this. They won't address the evil that you're trying to point out. They want to shut you down rather than talk about the thing you're pointing out. So whether in your case it was Eli Lilly and all the makers of dangerous psychotropic drugs, the target wasn't them. It was Peter Bragan. Who's this guy? We need to jettison him. Thanks be to God. We believe that Jesus Christ is the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's no reason to be afraid of speaking the truth. As long as you're not deceiving people, just let your hair down, tell the truth as you see it, protect your family, get on a close relationship with the word no. No, I'm not complying. No, I'm not getting jabbed. No, I'm not going to impede my breathing. And this is why this country is so great. I was raised in Canada. I became a U.S. citizen last year with my good wife, who's from Peru. And both Peru and Canada have shifted into police state status, where contrary voices are not only deleted, but they're lied about. You have this trucker movement, which I never saw coming, Peter, honestly. I didn't either. Truckers from all across Canada, from the north, south, east, and west, converging on Ottawa. That's a beautiful, I mean, it just gives you goosebumps to see these men and women braving the cold. It's not like it happened in late May, right? We're talking brutal. I've lived in Ottawa for a year. It is cold, and they still showed up. And as a result,
their whole families, many of them.
With their families, yeah. And despite all of the pressure from government and media to lie about them and call them transphobic and misogynist and all the usual shame terms, there is a shift happening in Canada. The premier of Saskatchewan is dropping the mandates. The premier of Quebec, François Legault, has decided to not go through with his plan to, I don't know if you heard this, Peter, he was going to put a tax on unvaccinated Quebecers.
Oh, God.
Think of it. So that's dropped. And I think a lot of the politicians are going, this is maybe a stupid plan. Maybe we should drop some of these draconian
that's
measures.
Great news.
Yeah. So it's every in many different countries. You see a lot of trucker convoys flying Canadian flags. I've seen footage from New Zealand and Colombia, Germany, Australia. So it's a spirit. And think about truckers are, in a way, they're anti-big tech. Big tech is kind of ephemeral and complicated, and it's all electronic. Truckers are the vehicle that brings your food and all your goodies, and without them, we're dust. So I'm just very proud of them, as proud as I am now to be an American citizen. It warms the cockles of my ex-Canadian heart.
One of the things you mentioned about the Pope that I discuss in the book And it may have been you that directed me toward all these publications that I got. It's funny. I'm just not sure, but I think you might have. there's a journalist who covers the Vatican, and that the Chinese communists paid some untold millions of dollars to the Vatican, to the Pope. And in return, the Pope allows, for the first time in the history of the church, the Chinese communists to select the Catholic bishops in China. Mm-hmm. Is that the evidence seemed to me to be very clear. Is that true?
Yes, that is true. The amount is not known. I've heard right. as high as $2 billion. The attorney is Elizabeth Yore, Y-O-R-E. She's got a lot of the receipts on the Beijing-Rome financial corridor. Clearly, it's inexplicable otherwise that the Pope in Rome would permit communist Chinese that despise Christ, that despise any kind of faith, it's whether you're Jewish or Muslim or Uyghur, they're the enemies of mankind. So why they would give veto power to these communist apparatchiks is impossible to understand. And if you go to China and you're a Catholic bishop, they will put the red carpet treatment for you. They won't show you the ghetto. They won't show you concentration camps or detention centers. They send you to the, you know, the Shangri-La parts. And so people come away and say, oh, those Chinese, they've really grown. They're not such bad guys after all. And
yeah, it's quite bizarre because, by the way, folks, the Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H, there's argument about how to pronounce it. The Epoch Times covers the abuses of China. It's a weekly newspaper. I actually get it at the door. That really covers so much of this about China. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing to think about getting. It's actually become our base newspaper for information in many ways.
Yeah, Epoch Times is another thing I didn't see coming, because normally print journalism is totally dominated by left-wingers and communist sympathizers.
These are Chinese dissidents.
Yeah, that's right, from the Falun Gong group, yeah. So they know firsthand what it's like.
And they got videos and other things. I think it's important to announce. It's just a lot of tremendous information that's now alternative, but should be the dominant or one of the many dominant sources of our information. And I think they've just put up Epoch Times for folks to look at, showing you the coverage. Thank you for doing that. Not supposed to mention the names of the wonderful people that are behind the scenes. So thank you, guys and girls. Tell us some more about just some of the things that are on your mind about Catholicism and the struggles that you have and things you wondered about bringing up on the show.
The problem becomes where to start.
You got 8, 9 minutes.
Okay. The Catholic Church has always been in the crosshairs of worldly powers since the time of Christ and the apostles. The Caesars wanted to crush the faith in the opening few centuries until Constantine became a Christian and made Catholicism no longer illegal. Before that, it was a bloodbath. The first several dozen popes were actually martyred. They were murdered for the faith. So we have a foundation of overcoming persecution. And I think the Catholics in America and in many other more or less free countries, we've grown fat and happy and taking a lot of things for granted to do with, you know, freedom of religion and so on. However, since 2013, with the appearance of Francis, there's been a great shift away from preaching the gospel without compromise and almost a Freemasonic watering down of the Catholic faith as some kind of social club where you've got a vague sense of God and the brotherhood of man and fraternity. That's all Francis wants to talk about is fraternity. He said
it's a communist word too, really.
It is a communist word too.
That came out of mostly out of the French Revolution, which was the
fraternité, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Correct. So it's a kind of a word salad kind of term. Francis has done more damage to the brand and the reputation and of the intellect and the coherence of the Catholic faith than anyone else that I can imagine. It's so bad now that there's more and more evidence arising, Peter, that we might be dealing with an antipope. The Catholic Church has been saddled with about 30 antipopes in history.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. Well, out of 265, it's not the proportion you want, but they've all been exposed eventually. And an antipope is not like the Antichrist. An antipope is simply a pretender to the throne, someone who's falsely believed to be the pope. And under this hypothesis, the real pope of the Catholic Church, as you and I record this, is Benedict XVI. Whose abdication has a lot of problems with it. It becomes quite technical, and we can get into canon law. That'll be a bit of a distraction. But right. John Paul II saw a lot of this coming. St. John Paul II in 1996 wrote a very important document called Universi Dominici Gregis, which were the rules that were to govern future papal conclaves. And he describes behavior that have to do with politicking, schmoozing, vote blocking, treating the papal office like a political office. And the punishment for this behavior is automatic excommunication from the Catholic Church. Well, the guys that elected Jorge Mario Bergoglio, now known as Pope Francis, did this behavior. They brag about it. They put it in their books. They talk about it in their speeches. Mm-hmm. So if he's not an antipope, he's certainly the worst pope in history. Francis has allied himself with all the enemies of Christ. He has given an open door policy to starlets and actors, and a closed door policy to very holy and heroic cardinals like Cardinal Zen, the retired Cardinal Archbishop of Hong Kong, who suffered terribly for the faith. Won't meet with them. He will meet with Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer. We know that they've had at least two secret meetings in the last year. Makes you wonder how much money change places. He did say that the vaccine, so-called, is a moral obligation, which is nonsense.
I didn't know that.
Yes, he did. Oh, and he denies the connection with abortion in the testing and manufacture of these mRNA injections. So he's on the side of all the people that previous popes were opposing. So there's no wonder why people are reticent to look at the claims of the church when you've got the public face in people like Francis of Rome, giving the church a name that's identical with confusion and an uncertain sound. And this is very dizzying for Catholics, and we have to just persevere in faith that God's in control. None of this is a surprise to him. You know, our Lord and Savior once took a long power nap in the boat, and the winds came up, and the waves were threatening to swamp, and then he woke up, and he calmed the waves, and he rebuked the disciples for the lack of faith. I don't want to be one of the people that our Lord rebukes. My faith is in him. It's not in human structures alone. And we're going to get through this, but Catholics have to get over the taboo or the scruple of describing evil where it exists. We're not doing anybody favors by pretending that an abusive stepfather is some kind of good guy, which he clearly is not.
Well, that's so good. That's so powerful. Most of the people watching this probably know that I'm Jewish. I think about God every day, many times a day. I think about a loving God. I think about love as the measure of personal relationships, and as a motivator in how I want to view the world, the actions I want to take. I want to mm-hmm. spread love, not murder and mayhem. Patrick and I are on a very similar, coming from different institutional bases, we're very, very similar, and many people around the world are. And if folks, and you know, if you've gotten so enlightened that believing in God seems silly or foolish or, you know, unprovable or whatever else, just look in your own heart, see what matters to you, what's bigger than you. Find what's bigger than you. And I think if you look for what's bigger than you, larger than you, you'll get to some essence of yourself as a loving human being, and you may not get to God. It was a kind of a trek for me. I was like Patrick, I was very rebellious. I was the class agnostic back in high school, and then I was a progressive in the 50s when being a progressive was a very dangerous thing to be in high school. And then I started looking at myself, and then it wasn't until my 30s that I met people who were deeply religious that I understood, who were conservatives who I understood, and in my 40s. And I've grown in this direction of letting go of ego, letting go of megalomania, letting go of know-it-all, looking to the wisdom of ages, like the Catholic Church, like Christ, so much of what he says, like Judaism, the roots of Christianity and Judaism, and just look in yourself and dare the luxury of having some faith. Because to me, I was embarrassed. I mean, I would think believing God would be, actually I concluded it was selfish, and then I realized, wait a minute, if I think something's so good, outrageously good, that it's selfish to imagine it, I thought, maybe I should look a little deeper.
Right, maybe you should doubt your doubts.
Maybe I should doubt my doubts. That's beautifully, beautifully said. And the illustration of what happened to the Pope illustrates a key progression in the book, which when Ginger and I started the book, we had no idea whatsoever that we would start looking at global predators, the top tech companies, the top billionaires, a number of the governments in the world, and also an awful lot. And we named them, but it must be, you know, most of the big names in international corporate life and the banks, that they all had one thing in common. I just couldn't believe it, one after another. And that was, they had ties to communist China. They had big investments, were getting money, and even talked about how good communist China is and how successful it is and how much better they're handling COVID-19 because they have a more efficient government and democracy. I mean, and then more and more I've been learning about Bill Gates and his closeness to the communist regime, which he doesn't advertise. Mm-hmm. Patrick, do you have any closing words? We have a minute or so if you'd like to have some good closing words. You can even say just a prayer.
I want to piggyback on what you said about looking within. In the Catholic tradition, we have this idea that God is subtle. His existence is not self-evident. There's a certain hiddenness with God. It's not like he appears like the Jolly Green Giant out in the field one day to do a magic trick for you. But if you knock, you will get the door open. If you seek, you will find. There has to be something inside the human heart that moves toward his love. And if you do that, you'll never go wrong. You can't, as Bishop Sheen says, you can't lose your footing on your knees.
And start in your personal life. Believe that you have a right to loving, respectful relationships with your husband, your wife, your parents, your children. Believe deeply that you should respect others and love others, and they should treat you with respect. Make it the center of your life. It should be the center of Judaism and Christianity. It is the center of the good life. And thank you, Patrick, for being on the air. You always bring out some good things from me in my heart. And thank you. And bye now, folks.